Hi then, welcome to the program today. My name is Kwoju Oyemade. Thank you for watching. Before going to today's message, which is on the subject of the law of service or the covenant of service. Very important announcement. On the 31st of December, Watch Night Service, Covenant Christian Center will be holding theirs at the Tafa Balewa Square, Lagos. Start time, 9:30 p.m. I'll be back after this announcement. Hi there, my name is Kwoju Oyemade, the Senior Pastor at Covenant Christian Center. This is to invite you for our Watch Night Service coming up on the 31st of December at the Tafa Balewa Square, Lagos. It will be a night where we'll offer praises unto God, prayers, and prophetic utterances to usher us into 2017. I'll also be teaching on certain principles God has deposited in my heart that will allow Him, when we practice these things, allow Him to have room to fulfill every prophetic word He has ordained for us in 2017. Also, I'll be joined by Ron Kinoli in songs. He'll be present to minister to us in songs. Once again, 31st of December, Tafa Balewa Square, Lagos. Start time, 9:30 p.m. There'll be buses after the service at 12:30 a.m. to carry people to different parts in the city of Lagos. God bless you as you come. Welcome back. I want to speak on the subject, the covenant of service or the law of service. It is a principle in scripture that goes to the heart of our covenant relationship with God. First of all, I need to establish this, that the earth works on the principle of the law of cause and effect. In other words, if anything happens somewhere, there is a reason why that particular thing happened. That is, there is a cause that produces every effect that we see. So once there is something that happens in a particular place, there is a reason why that particular thing happened. And so when people study events, what they want to do is to find out the cause behind that particular thing that the humanity or man or individuals have experienced in that particular place. God also shows us this in scripture. He tells us in Galatians that He cannot be mocked. Paul said God cannot be mocked. This is the governing principle on the earth. It says, whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall that man reap. In other words, God cannot be mocked literally means you cannot make a fool of God. You cannot dethrone God. That is, God's throne is established on this, that whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall that man reap. So the principle of the kingdom, the governing principles of the kingdom, is the principle of cause and effect, which means every effect has a seed behind it. Somebody, something did something somewhere in order for us to have that particular effect. In other words, for every harvest you see, for every outward manifestation you see, there is a hidden cause in a particular place. The seed is sown into the ground, and it, as scripture says, is hidden in the ground. And then the effect of you hiding that seed in the ground is that a tree comes out of it. So the cause is hidden, but the effect is visible. And that's the law. The scripture says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man will cast seed into the ground. So anybody working with God, God shows him that this is what you want, yes. Now this is the seed you need to sow. This is what you need to do in order for this particular thing to come to pass. So when we put our faith in God and we believe God for things, this is where a lot of people miss it. And we believe God for things and put our trust in God. What God does is that He grants us the wisdom for the fulfillment of that particular thing. That is, faith will lead to wisdom. Put your trust in God. Lean not on your understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And what God does in response to a person who trusts in the Lord with all of his heart is that God directs his steps. In other words, God shows to that person, this is what you ought to do on the earth, or you need to do on the earth, in order for what you have put your trust in me to come to pass. James said, I by my works, I will show you my faith. In other words, the things that I am doing will show you what I have put my trust in God for. You can't be confessing and say, be thou warmed and filled. But James says there are things that are needful that must be given in order for your proclamations to actually come to pass. That is why Jesus called it, if you have faith, as a grain of mustard seed. It is not about the size of your faith. It's about the character of your faith. That is, faith has got to be treated as a seed. And when it is planted, it begins to produce. So God's business is, when we put our trust in Him, He says, you see this effect you want, here is the cause. And once you carry out this will be the resultant outcome of what you're doing. So the covenant of mercy, or the law of mercy, is a hidden principle, is where I'm going, that produces certain outward blessings as contained in the scripture. Anybody who walks in the law of service, anybody who serves God, there is a resultant effect upon the earth, which means it produces certain outward things. Jesus said, what you do in secret, you will be rewarded openly. In other words, the cause is what you have done in secret. The effect is what happens before men. So when you put your trust in God, He shows you something. So God wants to show us the covenant of service, the law of service. That is, when a person serves God as stipulated in the scripture, what is the resultant effect of it in the life of that person? Now we see this, first of all, in Exodus 23. It says, and you shall, verse 25, serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless, which means you shall serve, and He shall bless, which means you serve, and God responds to your service by blessing. So you press the button of service, God presses the resultant effect, which is blessing. He shall bless thy bread and water, that your means of sustenance, how you get your bread, how you are sustained on the earth. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, and there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of your days will I fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thy enemies to turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets, and I will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts be multiplied. But little by little I will drive before thee. So God will enlarge, all right, your tents there. Also, it tells us in the book of Job, he says, if they are bound with fetters and iron, then he opens up their ears and shows them their transgression. If they obey and serve, he says, then they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So when a person serves, the resultant effect is that God moves into the life of that person to bless that particular person. Now think about this. When God was bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt, Moses went to meet God and said, what are the words that I must speak to Pharaoh in order for them to be released? He said, tell Pharaoh that he should let my people go that they might serve me. That is, release them. This is the covenant. If people are committed to serving God, then God says every bondage within their lives must be broken. For He's looking for people who will have the intent and purpose to serve Him. So one of the things in the covenant of service is that God is committed to breaking, all right, every form of bondage over or in the life of a person who enters into, right, the covenant of service. Here we say, I will bless thy bread and I will bless thy water. So God says, tell Pharaoh, a type of Satan, you let them go that they might serve me. But think about this, and this is what I want us to get today. God was taking them to the promised land. But what he said, he didn't say, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they might enter into the promised land. He said, let my people go that they might serve me in the wilderness. In other words, he was going to take them out of Egypt and put them in the wilderness. The wilderness was a place, not of the fulfillment of the promises of God, but it was a place where God was going to preserve and sustain them. It was a place where they felt that, you know, things were not as they felt. The promise of God had not been fulfilled, but God was preserving and sustaining them in that particular place. They didn't have everything they felt they should eat, but he gave them what would sustain their body. He kept them in the wilderness. And what God was saying was, tell Pharaoh they're coming out of bondage to enter into the wilderness in order to serve. And what God understood was that once they serve in the wilderness, that will be the seed that they need to sow in order to enter into the promised land. So once you enter into a place of service, when all of your needs, so to speak, are not completely met, when all the promises of God are not completely fulfilled, you understand that once I enter into service, service is going to lead to the fulfillment of everything on the outside. So God didn't say, let them go that they might get into the promised land. It's let them go that they might get into service. And once they're in service, that this will lead to the fulfillment of God's promises or lead to them entering into the inheritance that God has ordained for them. Where I'm going is that the covenant of service is what brings about the inheritance of God into your life. Is as you enter into the service of God, I will explain what it means to serve God. We're not talking about church activities. We're not talking about things that are done outwardly. There is what is called the service of God. It's not something you do to please men. It's not an outward show. This starts with the heart. And when a person gets into that, it says, and serves God, and enters into that covenant of service, it will produce the inheritance, which means you will begin to enter into the place that God has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, quickly in the book of Colossians, we'll find the New Testament description of what it means to serve God. And we'll find this in Colossians chapter 3. And then to explain this. And Colossians chapter 3 describes it, right, what that service really means. And it does not necessarily have to be activity that is related, you know, to things that we consider as, you know, church activity. That's not the starting point. You have to have a heart of a servant so that in things temporal and eternal, secular and spiritual, you are serving God from your heart in order to enter into certain things. And he says here, servants, in Colossians 3 verse 22, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, these were people that were in what we call secular endeavor. They were going about their regular business. They were employed there. And he says, where you are employed and working, you've got to understand that you can enter into the service of God in that particular place if you go about it with the right attitude. And this will lead to you entering into your inheritance. The inheritance could be described as maybe God has some massive business that he has for you that he's prepared. A powerful idea with a global network where you will meet people, all right, from all over the world and enter into an inheritance that he has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But in order for you to enter into it, he says that covenant of service must be enacted. You must understand that when you are serving your master according to the flesh, you must enter into the service of the Lord where you are. In other words, you are not a man pleaser. You are not somebody who does things in the face of the person in order to appear like you are acting and doing the right thing, while behind the back, you are doing something else. Which means, all right, you are not a hypocrite. You have a single heart there. Your eye is single, right? What you do, you treat that particular thing as your own. You don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't do anything to damage that particular place. Your eye is single at what you are doing. So he says, not as a man pleaser. There are many people that if the boss is around or they run out looking busy, the minute he goes, they engage in gossip, talk behind the back, go into the cafeteria, say negative things about the person, are hypocritical in what they're doing. They are not in the service of God where they are physically serving. In order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, which means even in your earthly endeavor, you can serve the Lord Jesus. And this will lead to the inheritance. In other words, you enter into the wilderness, the salary might not be the best, but if you are serving God from that very place, you will enter into the eternal inheritance that God has prepared for you. Joseph entered into the service of God while he was in prison. And it was the service of God he was into that opened up the door for him to become prime minister in Egypt. There are places that God has prepared, but the seed that must be sown is a seed of true and genuine service before the eyes of God, not before men, not anything hypocritical. It says here also in chapter 4, masters, he says, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, for you have a master in heaven. So if you're an employer of labor, the way you enter into the service of God also is to be just and fair in your dealings with people. That is to say, you don't let people work for you, and then it's time to pay their salaries, and you are using the money and the profit there on your own personal leisure, spending it while you're depriving people. You are not just and fair. You must serve the people that you employed, right? Have a true heart, not be hypocritical, and also serve the clients, which means people that are coming in. You're in the service of God there. You don't call what is white, black in order to sell it. You are truthful in your heart, in your dealings with your clients there. You understand that it's like Jesus who has walked in and you want to deal with Jesus Christ. It's like the people that you employed are like Jesus that is working for you. You want to be fair and just to them. So that's what it means to serve God. And he says, when you do that, fearing the Lord, he says, you will enter into the inheritance that God has promised. Psalm 123 says this, and this should stop us as Christians from complaining. It says, I will look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. It tells us, as men servants look to the hands of their masters. And it talks about maidens look to the hands of their mistresses. Our eyes are upon thee, O Lord, until you have mercy upon us. In other words, these are people that were involved in what you call secular work. Many people's eyes are upon the boss, which means, let me do something in front of the boss so that I can be rewarded and promoted. But if he's not around, then I do something else. But then it says, our eyes on you. We're treating this as the work of the Lord. And so we do it without any form of hypocrisy. We do it diligently. We do it as unto the Lord. And we are looking for the mercy of God. We are not really even looking for promotion. We are not even looking for increase in our pay. That can come. But what we are looking out for is the mercy of God. Don't forget, Paul said, it's not of him that runneth, neither is it of him that willeth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. When God shows mercy upon a person in what they are doing with their hands, when he shows mercy, you will see the activity of God, right? The activity of God in the life of that person. He will be called a favored one and one who is known as the friend of God by reason of the things that will happen in the life of that person. Isaiah 54 says, your land shall be termed married unto the Lord. That is, people will look at you and understand from the things that have happened in your life that you are highly favored, chosen, and God has separated you for some form of special blessing. The key to it is that you've enacted the covenant of service. You are doing it, all right, in the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? David said in Psalm 34, come, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. It's not that somebody behaves physically, you know, and cowers and all of that. That's not the fear of the Lord. He said, here is the fear of the Lord in Psalm 34. He says, he that will love life and see many good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and that his lips speak no guile. In other words, the fear of the Lord is that no evil speech. You don't speak negatively about people. Where you are serving, you are not involved in gossip. No negative talk about anybody. No guile comes out of your lips. You don't greet somebody good morning and say you are such a wonderful person, and then the next minute you are saying something else. That's devoid of the fear of God. The fear of God means that no guile comes out of your lips. This is what it means to serve. And if you get into service there, doing the right thing, the same way Joseph did it, right? Did the right thing there. It's not about anything. You know, people do a lot of external things, you know, just for people to see. And you wonder why they don't get blessed. Because a lot of it is hypocritical. You know, a lot of it, they do it and then make demands from the people in the flesh that look at what I've done and make demands, right? You serve from your heart, knowing that what you're going to enter is the eternal inheritance. Can you imagine Joseph fighting in the prison for not becoming promoted and becoming, you know, the chief? Can you imagine that when the inheritance in that place was to become prime minister of Egypt, and almost the person who saved the entire world from total economic collapse, that God was going to show him mercy there and lift him up from that place and set him as a foreigner in another nation, set him in the most powerful position in that particular place. Same thing Daniel enacted. They threw him into the lion's den. Nothing happened to Daniel. The king came and said, how did your God save you? He said, O king, you need to understand this. I did you no hurt with my words. He said, the way I was preserved here, go and check. There's no conversation I ever had while I was working for you that in my words I did damage. I did nothing to undermine you as a person. And he said, before God Almighty, I was faultless there. And so he said, that's how he was preserved from the lions, and they didn't swallow him up. The covenant of service is a powerful thing. The Bible says a true Jew, his praise is not from men, but his praise is from God. We must understand this, that when the nation of Israel went out, they were kings and they were priests. And they went out to battle. That was a kingly anointing, where you manifest and you win victories. That's outward. But the priesthood was always done inside the court. You had to go into the courts there to offer up anything. What you do in service, you do before God alone. What you do in terms of kingly anointing, or a manifestation of results, getting the harvest, is done outwardly. But the nation of Israel always understood something. If we went to battle to manifest our kingly anointing and we lost, if we planted and we didn't get a bumper harvest, our kingly anointing didn't show up, something is wrong with the priesthood, the way we are sacrificing and offering up things unto God. So what people should really check in their lives is the law of service. That's why Jesus, the minute they toiled all night and caught nothing, he said, get into service. Lend me your boat. They did that. He entered into service, and then it entered. Priesthood first, before you have the kingly anointing. Do it from your heart, with a singleness of heart, as unto the Lord. No murmuring, no complaining, and the outcomes are predictable according to the word of the Lord. We've got to stop here because of time. I believe you were blessed by this short message. Don't forget, 31st of December, 9:30 p.m., watch night service. Ron Pinali will be ministering Tafa Balewa Square a time of worship, time of prayers, prophetic utterances into 2017. Thank you for watching once again, and God bless you.
Hi there, my name is Kwadri Imade, the senior pastor at Covenant Christian Center. This is to invite you for our watch night service coming up on the 31st of December at the Tafa Balewa Square, Lagos. It will be a night where we'll offer praises unto God, prayers, and prophetic utterances to usher us into 2017. I'll also be teaching on certain principles God has deposited in my heart that will allow Him, when we practice these things, allow Him to have room to fulfill every prophetic word He has ordained for us in 2017. Also, I'll be joined by Ron Kinoli in songs. He'll be present to minister to us in songs. Once again, 31st of December, Tafa Balewa Square, Lagos. Start time, 9:30 p.m. There'll be buses after the service at 12:30 a.m. to carry people to different parts in the city of Lagos. God bless you as you come.
Thanks for watching The Quantum Leap.